Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into Adam Carriker on The Ticket. It is that time of the week. The fastest hour in radio is here. Ladies and gentlemen, join me, if you hadn't heard, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday here on 93.7 The Ticket from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. I'm live Mondays and Fridays. Check Tuesdays and Thursdays. The Carriker Chronicles and the Big Ten Show on Wednesday. Be joined by former All-American quarterback Steve Taylor as he drops that knowledge. Noon to 1 p.m. Central Time daily here on 93.7 The Ticket, your fastest hour in radio. Again, grab your lunch, join us, and hopefully we'll have un poquito amount of fun to a whole lot of poquito amount of fun each and every day here on The Ticket. We got a loaded show. My good buddy Jake, who does a phenomenal job. I want to give Jake a shout out for multiple things. Okay, not only is he a great host, okay, he's educating Vershawn and Terrell Farley every day on The Captain. Okay, he's stepping up every day and filling in whenever we need a host, and he does a phenomenal job. He also edits videos. He edits the interviews. He puts out the thumbnails on YouTube. And so much love to Jake. Jake's going to join me. Feel free to hop in. But we're going to talk a little NCAA tournament. We got the hottest team in the entire country, NC State, 11th-seeded NC State, playing what many people believe is the best team in the country in Purdue or UConn. Some people believe it's UConn. UConn is the team that I predicted would win the NCAA tournament. I know. I went so far out on a limb with that. All right. But we're going to talk about NC State versus Purdue. And we're going to talk about Alabama. Crap, are they good at basketball now too? Ugh. Alabama. All right. They're in the Final Four as well. They're going to be taking on the UConn Huskies. All right, Jake, whenever you want to hop on and join me, feel free to do so. But at 12:30, we're going to be joined. And I've been trying to get this interview, and Luke's been coordinating great with me. He's Luke McCaffrey. He's been getting ready for the combine. He's training. He's doing all these things. He's getting ready for a pro day and all this stuff, getting ready for the NFL draft. We finally coordinated. He's going to be joining me today at 12:30. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask him all those fun questions we've been wanting to ask him for years. But my good buddy Jake is joining me. So, again, shout out to Jake for all the behind-the-scenes work he does, for all the on-air stuff that he does. How you doing, Jake?
Oh, not too bad. I feel pretty good here on a Monday, and especially with this Luke McCaffrey interview coming up. I'm glad you said you're going to ask him those questions, because it's a big interview, a big get. I think a lot of people wondering, what kind of took place here, and then how was he able to turn it around at Rice to the point that he's – that like you said, looking to get into the NFL, and a team will probably pick him up here in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've had a good relationship with the McCaffrey family, whether it's Ed. I've never met Christian, but whether it's Ed or whether it's Luke. So I was kind of surprised he was willing to come on. But we treat all our guests with respect. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's just like, hey, what was the relationship like with Frost? What was it like with Adrian? You know, why did you leave? The moving positions to wide receiver from quarterback, which he didn't seem too anxious to do here. Why was he willing to do that later on? Things of that nature. Going to be fun. Okay, so right off the top, talk to me, Jake, your thoughts on the NCAA tournament so far, and then let's look ahead just a smidge, all right, to these Final Four matchups. Again, the hottest team in the country in NC State. Now, if you look at NC State, they won 5 games in 5 days to win the ACC tournament. All right, they beat Louisville, then they trounced Syracuse by 22 points, then they beat Duke, then they beat Virginia, All right. And then they beat North Carolina, all right, by almost double digits, not quite. Then they take out Texas Tech by 13 points in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Then they take out everybody's favorite team for about 48 hours in Oakland. All right. Then they upset the number two seeded Marquette. And then they beat Duke again, which is no easy feat. Okay. They beat Duke again to get to the Final Four. And then they're going to be playing Purdue. But let's start off with NC State, and then we'll chat just a smidge about Purdue. What are your thoughts on this red hot? What have they won, 10 in a row games? Let me look at this and double check real quick. 10 in a row. Yep, 10 in a row, which is funny because they actually lost to Florida State to end the regular season, lost to North Carolina, lost to Duke by 15, a team they've just beat twice in their past 10 games, lost to Pittsburgh. I mean, my Lord, they lost their last five games, some of them kind of ugly, and then now they've won, what is it, 10 games in a row, nine games in a row? How do you do that? Like, what are your thoughts on this red-hot streak and turning things around if you're NC State? The little brother to North Carolina and Duke, who's the little brother to North Carolina, at least they're not Wake Forest, I guess. But what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, first of all, I do remember part of what really got me into college basketball and just college sports in general is a book at the library with these four teams within North Carolina. Just a book all about the mm-hmm. rivalry and the back and forth that yep. goes there. It is kind of interesting, and I haven't been to North Carolina, but I'd like to go there because what I was reading up is, you know, you go to people go to North Carolina State if they can't get into North Carolina. Obviously, Duke, private school on its own separate thing. So it's kind of fun to read about the rivalries and what goes in there. But you're absolutely right. I mean, talk about a state where it's hard to get any love. North Carolina and Duke, some of your blue bloods, your all-time greats, and North Carolina State has won a couple titles before, but it's been a while, you know, and they did so as an underdog before as well in 1983. And this is the run, but this is the run that every fan, you know, hopes for. This is the run that nobody can potentially see coming. They did get a victory, like you said, in the ACC tournament. Just started going wild and beating the likes of Duke and North Carolina. And so you think, okay, look out. Maybe they can beat anybody. And here they are making a Final Four run when they were, you know, a loss away in the conference tournament from, you know, probably an invitation to the NIT. This is just the stuff of magic. So I know it's not Oakland, or it's not a team that you have to Google where they're from. It's a Power Five team, so I get maybe that takes a little bit away from it. But this is the Cinderella story, at least if you're not a blue blood that any of us would wish for. And so I'm not necessarily cheering for them because I'm still Big Ten. I cheer for my conference in the Big Ten in mm-hmm. Purdue, yep. but. If they do beat Purdue, I will be cheering for them in the final because it would just be such a good story.
So NC State, just to recap, lost their last four games of the regular season, lost five of their last six, lost to Duke by 15, a team they've beaten twice in their last nine games, lost to North Carolina, a team they had to beat, okay, to win the ACC tournament. I mean, just getting red hot. So if I'm Purdue, I'm walking in feeling like I'm the better team. But the question is, am I the hotter team? This is a Purdue team with Zach Edey, 7 foot, 4 million. Okay. The defending player of the year, the Big Ten player of the year, a guy who, when I watch Purdue on TV, my kids walk up to the TV screen, they point and they go, "Who is that?" Because they don't know who he is. And he just towers over everybody. He looks like a man playing with middle school children out there sometimes, a regular size man playing against middle schoolers. But here's the thing about this Purdue team, all five returning starters. And I think about the last time a 16 seed beat a one seed. Okay, it was Virginia. They came back the next year and they won it all. And I can't help but wonder, I guarantee Virginia was uber motivated and that contributed to them winning it all after being humiliated and embarrassed. I can't help but wonder if Purdue's the same way. They got all five returning starters. That's all fresh in their memory. And then here's the thing. Everybody thinks about Purdue. They think about Zach Edey, down low, dominance, inside presence. You know, they're one of the top 3-point shooting teams in the entire country. So if you collapse on him too quick, they're going to destroy you from long range. So I think this game against North Carolina State, I think it's going to come down to who gets hot. I don't even know what the better team is going to win. If NC State stays hot, they're going to be tough to beat. If NC State, and they should focus on taking away the closer shots first. So take away Edey and make Purdue hit the long range shots. So if Purdue gets hot, they're going to be impossible to beat. If NC State gets hot, now if they both get hot, it's just going to be 4th of July fireworks in March or April, and that'll be great. I'm going to go with Purdue just because I think they're the better team. And if ever a game's a toss-up, I'm always going to go with the team I think is a little bit more experienced or talented or whatever the case may be. So I'm going to take Purdue. What's your official prediction in this one, Jake.
Well, I'm fascinated by what you said, too. I mean, if it does happen where the number one, the teams that lose to the 16th seed come back and win twice. I mean, I never thought I'd see a 16 seed win to begin with. So what addition that would be to add to the surprise there. Edie, by the way, has led Purdue in every one of these games in scoring and rebounding. So there's a clear path to beating Purdue. Like you said, they shoot over from 40% from beyond the arc if you do collapse on him. So it's not like that hasn't been tried here as his kind of reign of terror has been over the Big Ten. I think Purdue, because of that loss to the 16 seed, because of Matt Painter's history, not necessarily this team, but Matt Painter's history at Purdue, not always living up to expectations. And I think this is maybe his second big run. He had an Elite Eight appearance, now his first Final Four. We all just kind of expect a collapse at some point. But now, after having beaten Tennessee and Gonzaga, and you just look it back all year, I mean, they beat Alabama. They beat Arizona. They, you know, beat Tennessee twice now, let alone the Big Ten teams. It's a battle-tested Purdue that's taken the best shot of everybody. So, I mean, I gotta believe with you. I think if the better team wins, it will be Purdue. They gotta make sure North Carolina State doesn't have any of that magic left. I think it ends with Zach Edey.
That's the only thing that makes me nervous. This isn't a best of seven, man. The best team doesn't always win in a one-game scenario. It's whoever gets hot. And if you look at the top four teams in the country coming into this tournament, all right, to me, there were three teams who were clearly the best teams in the country. UConn, Houston, Purdue, however you wanted to rank them. I had UConn 1, probably Purdue 2, Houston 3, but that was a coin flip to me. Obviously, Houston's out at this point. Losing their point guard and best player, that was a huge impact in that game and their loss that they had. Okay, then after that, if you just look at the top 25 rankings, I've got Iowa State, okay, North Carolina, who I actually thought, man, it was a toss-up. I actually had Arizona beating them, but I thought, North Carolina's experience. Their average age of their five starters is 22.2 years old. Like the Oklahoma City Thunders is 22.6 years old. But alas, they get upset. They get upended. Okay. So to me, the top three best teams in the country, in my opinion, were clearly UConn, Houston, Purdue. And now I think it's UConn and Purdue that are left. Now, does the best team win or does the hottest team win? We'll find out when it comes to NC State or Purdue. But let's talk about
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Just, I want to vomit just saying this team's name. I'm not an Alabama fan. Anybody who's ever known me has known that my dad raised me, and I'm going to say the H word, to hate three teams, okay? Miami, for obvious reasons. The New York Yankees, because they buy championships. Don't at me, people. And I don't really know why, but Alabama was always that third team, so I just kind of adopted an extreme dislike of them. And then, you know, obviously they've been the best program for the past, 15-plus years, so that doesn't help. But now apparently they're good at basketball. God, that makes me want to vomit so bad. They're the only, okay. So they were the only program in the history of college sports to go to a CFP top four college football playoff and then be a Sweet 16 team and now an Elite Eight team. And now my God, they're in the Final Four of the college basketball. I bet you can't guess who I'm going to pick, whether I want to pick them or not. It's not Alabama. All right. But you look at UConn, you look at Bama. I think UConn, the defending national champs, they were the odds-on favorite to win it before this tournament started. I predicted them, not a lot of confidence. I actually had UConn and Purdue in the championship. The rest of my bracket has been utterly destroyed. But at least I have a chance of getting my championship game right. So maybe I won't lose to my six-year-old who's ahead of me right now in my NCAA tournament family bracket war that we're having because she talks so much trash. She's so disrespectful to her dad. But then she smiles and gives me a hug, and I have to act like it's all okay. All right. I'm going to be quiet because it's obvious I'm picking UConn. What are your thoughts on this disgusting Bama basketball run and who you taking to win the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird because I do generally, you know, you like the underdog story, and I think that would be Alabama in this case against UConn. UConn is just destroying everybody. Obviously, the defending champs. So the story's there for Alabama, maybe to play that upset role. They've got a variety of guys that can kind of get it done. Nelson kind of led them to their their Sweet 16 victory, and then kind of took a back seat. Sears is a heck of a point guard. Estrada, I mean, so they've got a good group, and all this done, by the way, without Reitzel Jr. these last couple of games. Hopefully he returns. Mm-hmm. Of course, Nebraska native and a flamethrower out there for the Crimson Tide. I mean, I can kind of agree with you. I don't think I was raised or born to hate Alabama. It just kind of came after watching them dominate. You know, you want to see something new, and Nick Saban kind of just dominated for the longest time. So, yep. But you know, for the SEC, they needed this Alabama run. They needed the Tennessee run because all the other SEC teams struggled from the get-go in this tournament. I'll pick UConn, and I'll pick UConn by double digits because that's what they've been doing. I think it is lining up for UConn against Purdue. And I think that's what I want to see. So many times in college basketball, the best teams don't necessarily make it because, like you said, it's a single-game elimination, not a best of seven. So you kind of get a mix. You usually get most of the best teams in the mix at the end. But I think all year long we've been thinking it's either UConn or Purdue. Like you said, Houston maybe in the mix as far as who's the best team. I'd like to see two of the Goliaths. No David versus Goliath. Two Goliaths going against each other in the championship game.
Yeah, I just want to see the two, what I believe are the two best teams in the country. I mean, they had the most amount of wins and the least amount of losses. Houston was that third team. I think they had one less win, one more loss than Purdue. I think Houston finished ranked second in the country. Purdue was third, UConn first. But I do. I want to see UConn. I want to see Purdue. I want to see the defending national champs versus the team that lost to a 16 seed. I just want to see how that plays out. It's interesting. When you look at UConn, by the way, who was the last team? No cheating. Who was the last team to beat UConn?
Oh, I know that one.
You should. I believe you do.
Yeah.
Now, whether you can think of it on the spot, sometimes it becomes funky.
That's right. That usually happens, yeah.
Did it pop into your head?
It's Creighton.
Creighton. Yeah. Did you cheat?
I may have looked at that earlier today.
Don't worry. I was totally staring at it on my screen. I definitely did not know that off the top of my head. But they're actually the last team to beat UConn. Okay, UConn has actually won, let me see here, 11 in a row. And every single one of those games, St. John's, they beat by five. Okay, every single one of those games is not only by double digits, it's over 15 points, a lot of them over 20. In the NCAA tournament, they beat Illinois by 25. San Diego State was their closest. They won by 20. They beat Northwestern by almost 30, 27. And Stetson, okay, they beat 91-52, so almost by 40. This is a team that has been rolling and just dominating. Okay. Now, when you look at Alabama, it's funny. They remind me of NC State. Okay. Their last four games to end the regular season, they lost three of them. All right. They lost to Tennessee. They lost to Florida. They beat Arkansas. And then they lost to Florida again. Now, this is the SEC tournament, going into the SEC tournament, I should say. And then the NCAA tournament, they get hot. Now, College of Charleston, Grand Canyon. Okay. God, having to watch Alabama and Clemson play again, albeit in another sport. Oh, that was brutal. really, North Carolina. And kudos to the ACC, a conference that I've been saying doomsday is coming their way for a long time. They got North Carolina, Clemson, NC State, all these teams into the Elite Eight. So kudos to them, or at least the Sweet 16, and making it so far. I'm rooting for the ACC to hang on. That's a topic for another day. There's actually a rumor that they might just take their top seven teams. And they might just make a smaller conference and keep the same amount of money, but just divide it amongst half as many teams. And that's their best play to try to stay around as a conference as a whole. But that is a topic for another day. Yeah, you look at Alabama, they had a rough ending to their regular season. Then they get hot in the tournament. You look at UConn, they pretty much just dominated all year. The best record in college football, finished the season number one overall seed coming into this tournament, defending national champs. I want to see UConn, and I want to see all of that I just described, and I want to see the best player in college basketball. I don't know if he's got the best NBA future. We'll see, but the best player in college basketball and the team who's just on a mission, I want to see them play Purdue in the NCAA tournament championships. So that's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I want to see, too. One other note about that is if you look at UConn's three losses this year, they average 81 points per game, and their three losses are around 63. So if you can kind of hold them down, play at a slower pace, And you know, I think Purdue's a pretty good matchup for him. I think that would be a clash of the heavyweights. It would just be, you know, what I want to see, like we said, what we would have been kind of wondering all season. But the good news is on either side is if you do have the upset, then you could still kind of have that David versus Goliath story or the Cinderella, as we call it here in March. So I think the Final Four is just set up pretty well. It's always hard to predict those things. Your Final Four, it's kind of funny. You know, you try to be weird because you know it's not going to go the way that people go. Mm-hmm. So you almost have to predict a bracket that you think is hardly predictable, and that kind of throws you all the way off. It's just so much fun, and to see it to come down to this end, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's the NCAA tournament is fun, but it's all I know I'm going to mess up. I know my bracket's going to get busted, so it's fun. But then it's kind of like, I know what's going to happen. So then you try to predict the upsets, and then you predict the wrong upsets. And then the favorites that win, you predicted them to lose. And this is why my six-year-old talks trash to me. Okay, so you look at UConn. There are three losses, right? Kansas, four-point loss, 69-65. Again, low scoring to your point. But here's what was interesting to me. Normally, if you're a team that wins this many games, when you lose, it's tight. They lost by 15 points to Seton Hall. Okay, and then their last loss, they beat Creighton the first time they played. But then the last time they lost, as we mentioned, was to Creighton. It was 85-66. It was 19 points. So typically when you're a really good team and you don't lose many games, typically you would think that their losses would be closer. So you wonder, you know, I didn't sit down and watch those games. So maybe there was an injury. Maybe there was something, you know, specifically going on that night that affected the teams on those two particular nights, really, because the 5-point loss to Kansas was pretty close. All right, I got a question for you. So the NCAA tournament, it's the most exciting playoff that exists. Okay. It's also the least accurate in finding a national champion. Now, when you look at what college football has been up to this point, okay, let's just completely pretend the 12-team playoff is never going to happen. We're going to live in this alternate reality. Well, it hasn't happened yet. So up until now, well, let's just go with that. You either had the college football where 1 and 2 never played for decades. And then we finally figured out how to get to 1 and 2 and to finally play each other in the BCS era. And then people didn't like that. Okay. Then we got this 4-team playoff. So what I'm getting at is the college football has always emphasized the regular season. Okay. That's always what's been unique. It's unique to what the NFL does, what the NBA does. The college basketball has always said, crap on the regular season. Like nobody cares. Let's just emphasize March and nobody cares about the rest of the year. So what do you prefer? Again, the 12-team playoff hasn't happened yet. So we're going to ignore that. 14 teams, that's not even on the table yet. Do you prefer the college football model up until now, emphasizing the regular season and maybe not always finding the best actual national champion? Although I think the 4-team playoff has given us that more often than not. You can always debate that fourth team getting in, just like we're going to debate till the cows come home, the 12th team getting in, and then the 14th team in the near future. Okay. Or do you prefer March Madness, which is probably the most exciting, okay, way of finding a champion, but probably the least effective? What do you personally prefer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be fun when they go to this 12-team playoff. Like, if you just kind of separate itself and said, hey, this one year we're going to do it that way, I'd be all for it and be all excited about it. But I have long preferred the regular season holding its importance because it kind of extends the playoff to the whole season in college football just because of the limited amount of games that you can have. And so, you know, I like the BCS era or any idea where a loss in September. And some people, the reason they don't like it is because a loss in September can hurt your title chances. But I love it. You know, you have a Notre Dame, Ohio State game or something like that, a non-conference game in September, and just the heaviness, the weight of that game and trying to win that game at any point in the season could knock you from the national championship. And so, you know, it's just kind of what you want. If you want the hottest team, then a big playoff's good for you because you'll find with the hottest team at the end of the year. Injuries have already played out their way. But much like Florida State getting left out for the reasons they were this last year, I prefer your resume. And if you're undefeated, you certainly just deserve a chance. And that kind of hurt the BCS at times. They had some teams that didn't get the opportunity that weren't undefeated in Auburn. So, I mean, it's hard to get a perfect system. But I will miss college football as it was before this year because I don't think it's going back. But I will always miss it. I don't think I'll ever have a more favorite time of college football period moving forward than I did, you know, these past years, particularly the BCS. I was a BCS guy.
For me, I had a love-hate relationship with the BCS. I love that we finally got 1 versus 2. Okay. You know, think about 97. Nebraska would have played Michigan, but the Rose Bowl thinks it's special, just like Notre Dame does. Okay. So I love the BCS. I also hated it. There were times I called it the BCS bullcrap system. So I had a love-hate relationship, but I always, always have emphatically loved the regular season. Now, this is a topic much longer than the next minute that we've got. I would argue that devaluing Michigan, Ohio State, and devaluing games like that, which is what the 12 and 8, 14 team playoffs going to do, because no matter what, who wins or loses, both those teams are going to get in 99% of the time. Okay, I would argue that devaluing that game at the end of the year, like Iowa State fighting to get in as a 12 seed versus, I don't know, Kansas, because they're pretty good at football now under Lance Leipold. Like, what's going to happen is the winner of that Iowa State-Kansas game, that game's going to be exciting now. Michigan-Ohio State's not going to be as exciting, but here's what's going to happen. The best teams, the best talented, most talented teams are still going to win the playoff. So when Michigan plays Iowa State, they're going to destroy them. They're going to go on to win the national championship. Eventually, we're going to be reprogrammed and retrained up top that Iowa State-Kansas doesn't matter. Mm. The only thing that mattered was Michigan-Ohio State, and now we've devalued it. Because Kansas-Ohio-Iowa State, yeah, that's awesome. Now they're going to go get killed. In about 3 years, we're going to be reprogrammed, because right now it's exciting because we haven't seen it. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope Iowa State wins because I want all the games to matter. I just think that's what's going to happen. Does that kind of make sense? Are you picking up what I'm putting down, or am I just kind of way off in left field? And if I am, that's okay.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I haven't heard it put that way before. So I like, you know, kind of thinking about it. Well, because I have heard that argument that we want more games to be interesting. And I think you're right, though. At some point, you know who the best teams are. And that's what...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply in-app only.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.